Last week, Alaska Senator Mark Begich wrote a letter to Interior Secretary Sally Jewell asking her to exercise restraint in upcoming policy recommendations on the ivory trade. KNOM's Zachariah Hughes reports.
Begich says that while illegal global trafficking of elephant ivory is a serious problem, new rules need to take the walrus ivory used by Alaskan hunters and carvers into consideration.
My biggest worry is that they will come up with some broad sweeping catch-all, everything ban on ivory, which would be a huge mistake in the long term for what Alaskans utilize ivory for. And so I'm nervous that their discussions may lead to an economic impact.
Senator Begich's letter to Secretary Jewell came partly from concerns that decisions made far away in D.C. were not duly considering the Alaskans they'd affect.
We just don't want to get caught up into another Washington, D.C., you know, behind closed doors kind of thinking of how the world should be. And so what I've tried to do in this letter is kind of put a warning up that as they review this issue, that there are legitimate small businesses that acquire ivory legally and use it in a manner that is important for Alaska's economy and other parts of the national economy.
Last summer, President Obama signed an executive order assembling a task force to recommend new strategies for eliminating illegal ivory markets. That task force met for the first time in December. Jessica Kershaw is the spokeswoman for the U.S. Department of the Interior. She said in an email that the policy measures the Advisory Council will present to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are intended to effectively end the commercial ivory trade within the United States. Though no laws have yet been adopted or modified, the broad goal, Kershaw's email stated, is to reduce demand for ivory in the U.S. and worldwide. The policy recommendations coming from the Department of the Interior explicitly target elephant ivory, rhinoceros horns, and byproducts of endangered animals coming into the country from poaching abroad. Since walruses are not endangered and are harvested domestically, the law does nothing to their legal status. Everything about walrus ivory would technically stay the same. But what worries Begich is the tone of the current policy overhaul. Begich says that discouraging an appetite for illegal elephant ivory is one thing, but he's nervous that ivory harvested legally from the Bering Sea region will be a casualty of growing condemnation.
Again, I'm worried about how the discussion is occurring and that they should be very clear that Alaska ivory is exempt from this in the sense of walrus ivory. Just the fact the way they're discussing it, I've had people come to me and already concerned because it's not clear in the presentations they're making and not being very descriptive. It does have an economic impact on the purchasing of Alaska ivory when it shouldn't.
Back in November, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department co-sponsored an event with the World Wildlife Fund and International Fund for Animal Welfare. 25 years worth of illegally recovered ivory, nearly 6 tons of it in all, was pulverized in a giant rock crusher. It was a symbolic gesture to try spreading the message that ivory should no longer be revered as a luxury object in its own right. Exactly the kind of message Begich is worried will hurt the Alaskan hunters and carvers who depend on income from a viable market for walrus ivory products. For KNOM in Nome, I'm Zachariah Hughes.